So the question was asked, what happens when the Gadol Hador doesn't know? You ask him a question and he doesn't know the answer. So sometimes what he might do is look through the sugya again. When Rav Moshe Feinstein received the famous question about the Siamese twins that had to be operated on here in Israel, and he had to give ruling which one would live, which one would die, and whether it was permissible to do the operation, where there were certain dangers involved, and they'd have to rule which one would end up with the heart or the mind, or I don't remember exactly how those Siamese twins were attached and the details of the story, but you could look it up. It was in all the newspapers as well. So Rav Moshe Feinstein went into a room for 2 weeks, not to be disturbed, except for he was brought a little bit of food and drink, and he learned for 2 weeks straight, reviewing all the relevant sugiyot. And after 2 weeks, he wrote up a responsa with what he thought the answer should be. And then he went to his neighbor. He had a neighbor who was a big rabbi, and he asked his neighbor to come in. And the neighbor sat down, and he started telling him what he thought, and he spelled it all out to him to see what he thought, to spell out to him all the reasoning in the response, to make sure he didn't miss something. Usually there is more than one Gadol Hador, and usually, if necessary, they will converse or they'll compare notes. There are instances where a Gadol Hador will say, I can't answer this question alone. This is a question where I have to put together all the giants of the generation and we have to answer it. You can't answer this on your own. Certain questions require everyone convening together. And sometimes the answer is, I don't know. You know, the Shulchan Aruch sometimes says, I don't know. You look at the Beis Yosef, when he tries to figure out what are the criterion for how you can cut a vegetable thin on Shabbos, so the Beis Yosef brings you the opinions that preceded him, and then he says something to the effect of, gee, with all these opinions, I guess what you'll have to do is, in order to go in accordance with all the opinions, do X and Y and Z, and then I guess you'd be okay. You see, he himself wasn't clear, like, what am I going to do now? I guess we don't have a bottom line here, so we have to figure out how to conform with all opinions. And then he writes, he uses a terminology there in the Beis Yosef that's along the lines of, I guess you're okay if you do it that way. You don't always hit a bottom line. There are areas where you say, I wish there was someone bigger than me here who could prove it to me this way or that way. This is the best I can do. We do the best we can. And sometimes the Gadol Hador will call in his students and learn it through with them, because sometimes students help bring out the truth, learning it together with him. But at the end of the day, after using all those tools, sometimes you get an answer, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you daven for more wisdom, and sometimes you get it, and sometimes you don't. When Moshe Rabbeinu got a question that was beyond him, he could turn to God. That's what happened, right? The story with Bnos Tzlafchot, the daughters of Tzlafchot Cain, went from one court to another court to another court till it hit Moshe. And Moshe turned to God. Now, we don't have that option. We could turn to God in prayer, but the answers, they remain up there. Fair enough? Okay.